You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, May 20th. To hear the full broadcast along with news from NPR, tune in to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM every weekday beginning at 7:59 a.m. And now, the news. City leaders in Astoria have passed a new licensing program for vacation rentals and have also capped the number of vacation rentals allowed at 50. There are currently 43 vacation rentals operating in Astoria. Some vacation rental operators in Astoria pushed back, saying the ordinance would impact the city's tourist economy and hurt small businesses. They argued the ordinance is trying to address a problem that doesn't exist. Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick agreed with them and said he felt the council and city should be encouraging businesses to stay in business and not creating obstacles. City councilors Vance Lump, Elizabeth Adams, and Andy Davis countered that the ordinance is intended to get ahead of a problem other cities have faced, with a proliferation of vacation rentals and a loss of long-term housing for residents. They noted that the city already has a similar program for operators of homestay or Airbnb-type lodgings. They voted in favor of an amended ordinance. Fitzpatrick voted against it. A second reading of the ordinance will be held at a future meeting. City Councilor Andrea Mazzarella was excused from Monday's meeting. In about 7 weeks, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health will close its Spokane research office. More than 80 people are expected to lose their jobs. The agency's Spokane footprint includes the Mining Research Division and the Western States Division. Doug Nadvornik from Spokane Public Radio talks with one of the researchers to learn about the types of work that will either be halted or moved to other parts of the country.
Tristan Vickeroff, an epidemiologist and union steward, works in the Institute's Western States Division. His office oversees a broad range of workplace research projects.
That includes oil and gas extraction. We have a program that's dedicated to safety and well-being issues in American Indian and Alaska Native workers. We have research projects in commercial cannabis production industries, looking at some of the emerging issues that are happening there. The Spokane Research Laboratory has done work for years up in Silver Valley, looking at things like preventing rockfall, looking at some of the methods that people use for roof support. We have a project dedicated to the physiologic and cognitive impacts of heat strain in some of these deep underground mines.
And there's research on wildfires and the people who fight them.
We had a project that was tracking wildland fire crews based out of a number of different states, including Idaho and Colorado, looking at the cumulative health impacts over multiple wildfire seasons of exposure to wildfire smoke and heat and other things. So they're looking at biological samples, blood and urine, and looking at markers of systemic inflammation, looking at lung function, and other kinds of risks that come from that work.
Vickeroff's focus has been on commercial fishing fleets.
NIOSH has worked in commercial fishing safety for more than 30 years. And we've made a lot of progress in that time, but it's still a very dangerous kind of occupation. People may have seen the deadliest catch. Well, we work on trying to make the deadliest catch safer. One of the ways that we do that is we maintain a nationwide database. We call it the Commercial Fishing Incident Database. And for decades, this has been tracking where fatalities are happening in the commercial fishing industry. We track it by region. We track it by vessel type, by fishery type, and by cause so that we can break down what's really going on. And the reason that matters is it allows you to target safety interventions a little bit more intentionally.
Vickeroff says the closing of his division will mean the end of gathering workplace safety data that show which industries are most dangerous.
And they are tracking the kinds of things like the number of amputations that are happening, the number of heat-related emergency department visits, the number of traumatic injuries that lead to hospitalizations from workplace incidents. And that kind of surveillance data has been another big, big part of how NIOSH keeps some vigilance for what's going on and where progress is being made and where more resources may be needed.
He says his agency works closely with industries on safety issues, offering free in-the-field safety evaluations.
This is a confidential investigation if they need to take biological samples, air samples, chemical analyses, even an ergonomic analysis. They'll do a walkthrough, write a report, make recommendations, and that can all be kept confidential with no fines issued, nothing like that. In Washington State, for example, in the past 10 years, I looked it up, we've done 11 of these. Things from concerns from people working at a dry cleaning facility about chemical exposures to heavy metal contamination issues at an electronics recycling plant to people being exposed to tuberculosis from elephants in zookeeping operations.
Viktorov stresses NIOSH is not OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which is also an enforcement agency. His institute is all about research and helping employers save money.
If you think about the costs avoided from workers' comp costs, from workplace injuries that may be disabling, from disabling diseases like black lung and other kinds of illnesses that people acquire, from ergonomic issues like carpal tunnel that may develop, we save money. You think of the cost of shutting down a business because of a fatality investigation? Let me ask, what's the cost to a family of turning a kid into an orphan, you know, because their parent died at work?
When we last talked, Viktorov's NIOSH employment was to end July 2nd. He's not sure what's next and whether he'll be able to stay in Spokane. He fears that, given the microscope that public health is under right now, that this isn't a good time to be an epidemiologist. I'm Doug Nadvornik in Spokane.
Oregon's special election is today, which means it's your last chance to drop off your ballot. KMUN covers three counties in Oregon, Clatsop, Columbia, and Tillamook, and we've assembled election information by county at our website. Go to kmun.org/election to find links to ballot drop sites, voter pamphlets, and local election websites. We'll be watching as results come in tonight, and we'll start to air initial stories about election outcomes beginning Wednesday morning. To hear those stories, tune in to 91.9 FM, or go to kmun.org/news. Scroll down and you'll find our daily news podcasts featuring local and regional news that we produce 5 days a week with help from our news partners. For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, with showers likely through the afternoon, highs in the high 50s. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, with lows in the low 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, with highs near 60. A chance of rain tomorrow night, otherwise mostly cloudy, with lows in the mid-40s. You're listening to news from KMUN. We'll be back again tomorrow. See you then.